Thank you, God, for bringing us here today. Help us to always be prepared for your coming, for you come with love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's sermon is entitled Faith and Worship, and I'm focusing on the reading from Isaiah and the reading from Hebrews. Faith and worship work best, make the most sense, when both are based in the reality of your life. Faith, worship, things spiritual, are part of our everyday lives. Not everyone knows this or thinks about the connections. Because our church, our beloved HOCO, Holy Comforter, has long been engaged with our community, many of us do think about faith as it relates to action and how our worship relates to the whole of our lives. But even the most faithful can get distracted, even off track, as the prophet Isaiah reminded the people of Judah, saying, for God speaking God's words to them, what to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the blood of fed beasts, new moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocation. I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. The Hebrew prophets called the people back to God again and again. Most often they did so in the context of justice, calling people to do more than pray and warning them that solemn assemblies on their own, divorced from the rest of life, are not pleasing to God. Yes, prayer and worship are important, but as important as that, what we do in worship and what we say when praying, it should relate to our lives. We should look at our lives and be able to see a difference because of our worship and prayer. God can look at our lives. We pray and see us living our prayers, becoming the answer to our prayers. And in worship, what we praise about God and what we promise in response to God's love and forgiveness finds expression in our daily walk. On the other side of this coin is the grace we have in knowing that God is more than the church, that God is more than worship and prayer that we engage in here. For many of us, the issue might not be about doing justice and loving mercy in our lives, but the bigger issue might be in understanding how that connects with prayer and worship. When we know that our faith tradition sees an unbreakable relationship between prayer, worship, and daily life devoted to goodness, when we know that relationship, coming to church can take on even greater significance. It can mean even more to us. For it is here that we proclaim that God is all about justice and love. It is here that we gain strength to be God's people in our world. It's not easy to be God's people in our world. Just ask Abraham and Sarah. In the letter to the Hebrews, we are reminded, and the author is reminding those at the time who are trying to follow the way of Jesus, that, quote, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The story of Abraham and Sarah is one of travel and trust. God is calling them to go to a new place and trust that they were on their way home. God called them to trust in a most unlikely promise that they would have children. Abraham is too old and Sarah was barren, and we hear both as good as dead. It doesn't sound like anything life-giving is happening there, right? And yet, with God, nothing is impossible. Though we often, and this is made in that reading, the point is made there too, we often don't see the final result in our lifetime. The letter to the Hebrews, written for people who were following a new way, those who would be called Christians, needed to be reminded, as do we, that God calls us to new places, be they physical or metaphorical. And it takes faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. We go trusting in our God who calls us to a new country, a new and better home, a new and better way. Many people from Central and South America hear God's call to come to the United States. It's a life-threatening trip for most who cross our southern border. These people have courage. These people are heroes. And people of faith, they set out with so many unknowns, but they know that to live, they need to leave and travel. To live and to provide for their children, they take what is often a life or death journey. It's a life or death decision. They cannot stay where they are. Others who are Latino, Latina, Latinx, have always lived in what is now known as the United States. Borders and nations exist now in ways that they did not in past generations, where home here, these folks were at home here. And yet many of these people have been treated by some, mostly white Anglo folks, as foreign, even now, after generation after generation of living here. And remember how we used to, and of course some still do, call Spanish a foreign language. How foreign is Spanish when you think about it? Did you know that we are second only to Mexico in the number of people in our nation who speak Spanish? Which means that more people speak Spanish in the United States than do in Spain. And by the way, we don't have an official language. There isn't a set national language in this country if you want to look that up. When I lived in Winchester, Virginia, between 2003 and June of 2013, right before I came back to you, great move. So it wasn't that long ago. I give you the years because it wasn't that long ago that in at least one supermarket I would go to, the taco makings were found in, quote, the international aisle. This is a microaggression, right? This is racism. This and other sorts of othering led to so many tragedies, including the murder of Latinos at a Walmart in El Paso, Texas, on August 3rd, 2019, almost exactly 3 years ago today. On that day, 3 years ago, I was in New Mexico visiting my family, just 40, 50 miles or so away from that Walmart. My dad's from Costa Rica, and my stepmom is from Cuba, but I grew up with my Anglo mom who did not speak Spanish, so I didn't learn Spanish growing up. I studied some in high school and a little bit in college, but back in 2019, I really couldn't speak Spanish. After the shooting, I came back to Richmond. I felt such a strong call around this whole thing, and I started taking Spanish classes at the University of Richmond, hardcore college classes. And yeah, it was super hard. Talk about having faith in what's not yet seen, okay? I'm in there with, 18, 19, 20-year-olds. It was really fun, though. Last summer, I went to a Spanish immersion program in Middlebury, Vermont, at Middlebury College for 2 months. Again, super hard. I did all this to witness to the goodness of the culture and the people, and to try to be part of the solution and part of the healing. I viewed and view my efforts as prayer and worship. You all, you've done things that you can think of as prayer and worship. And maybe you did at the time. Things that others might not see as prayer and worship, but so much of God, maybe you did at the time, and now, looking back, I urge you to think about those things in that way. And I am willing to bet that God did and does. With a lot of help and faith, I'm inviting us all to step out on a journey to a new country. I invite you to come with me in the sense of looking at what I'm about to describe through the lens of faith. Holy Comforter had a Spanish language service in the past, in the 1980s. So it's not totally new here, but it is new for almost all of us who are part of this community now. Starting this September and every month following on the second Saturday of the month at 11 a.m., we are going to offer a Eucharist in Spanish. Misa en español para todos. This will be for everyone, and you are all invited. Many have been asking me, saying, I don't speak Spanish, can I come? Yes. Yes, please come. You're invited to, in fact, more than a service. We are taking a stand for justice and goodness, proclaiming the dignity of human beings by having this service. Worship and prayer will be connected to life in a powerful way. This service will enable us to make connections with our Spanish-speaking neighbors, new connections. We are going to be making new friends, and we are going to be new friends. Like Abraham and Sarah, we don't know exactly what to expect. We hope for what we do not yet see. We may not feel totally ready, but if we wait until we're totally ready, we never do it. God doesn't choose those who are ready, right? God chooses us now. And God promises that this will be home and a gift of grace. Amen.